Real people. Real opinions. Real talk radio. The multi-award-winning Niall Boylan Show. Classic hits.
Hi, Niall. Please don't share my details, as it's very sensitive, a very sensitive question, but I need help before I die from sadness. My gosh, that's a bad start, isn't it? My son is 10 years of age, in fifth class in school. He's such a nice child, and he's adorable, but he's a little bit shy. He does really well in school, and I've never had any issues with misbehaviour, and I could nearly say he's the perfect child, and I know that sounds like a typical parent thing to say about their own child. My problem is that he has no friends. And I know he desperately wants friends. Twice I have tried to arrange sleepovers and parties for birthdays in the house and nobody really comes. And the three children that did arrive once played with each other and practically ignored him for the 2 hours they came and scoffed the sweets. I tried desperately to play games to include him, but it just didn't work. I drove past the school at lunchtime last week and I'm so worried about him. There he was in the yard, in the corner, on his own, while all the other kids were playing together. I went to the school and they told me that they would try and include him more and encourage others to be with him, but said they couldn't force friendships, and that was weeks ago and it seems to be making no difference whatsoever. He's so down and he tells me the children just don't want to be his friend, and he puts it down to the fact that he's a little bit overweight. Imagine a child now being conscious of their weight at 10 years of age. His father has tried to sign him up for sports and other activities, but he's not that type of child. He's just not a sporty child and he doesn't seem to have any interest in wanting to do it. I'm so desperate as a mother and as a parent to help him before he becomes very depressed. Please help. Now, I'm sure this is something that many of you have gone through. You care so much about your child, and I think back to my own children when they were that age, particularly my first child when he was that age. And yeah, he was very quiet, extremely quiet. He's done so well in life now and I'm so proud of him. But he was so quiet. And it was difficult for him to make friends because he was shy. And again, you have to try your best by inviting friends around to the back garden to play with them and all that kind of thing and having little sleepovers, doing whatever you need to do, I suppose, to try and encourage people to play with them when you have a child that's a little bit quiet. This kid obviously has the added problem that he feels he's a little bit overweight. Now, I don't know what that means, but I'm assuming he means that maybe kids don't want to play with him, or maybe he's being bullied. I don't get the impression he's being bullied because of his weight, but maybe that's just a thing he has. And it's sad that a 10-year-old is feeling like that. But what do you do? What would you recommend to this parent to help her? You know what I mean? The number is 087-188-0008. So what should this mother do in this situation that affects so many parents out there and so many children when your child just has no friends? Nobody seems to want to play with him. Why? And you just can't figure it out. He's a good kid. He's a nice kid. Why does nobody want to play with him? And you take it personally. You start to take it really personally. You start getting upset with other children. I want to know what you do. What advice you would give to this mother. The number is 087-188-0008. What advice would you give to a parent if they had a child in that situation? Amy, you're on Ireland's Classic Kids. How you doing, Amy?
Hey, I'm gorgeous.
Good. Now, Amy, you've been listening to that email, and it's terribly sad. And I've been there as a parent with my first child. He was very quiet, and it was kind of difficult, and you're trying to invite friends around, and you're trying to do everything you can. I mean, what do you do in that situation?
I know the woman said that, you know, her husband tried to get him into sports, and he's not that type of child. But, you know, there's a lot more activities out there. You know, I'm assuming they just tried, you know, the general, you know, football and hurling sort of thing. But there's so many more activities. Like, you know, there's a rowing clubs, you know, there's equestrian. There's probably a lot more options that they didn't progress or pursue to see if he can do those. But in the sense of the bullying with the school, I just looked it up there before I actually came on air. So the anti-bullying policies, the board of management is actually legally responsible for the day-to-day running of the school and has a duty of care to its students. So if a child is being bullied, like, you know, I get what the teachers are saying, they can't force friendships, but they can ensure inclusion. That there's a difference. That, you know, friendships are outside of school, but if children aren't interacting like that, they should be sending letters home to the parents, advising the parents' behaviour, and that it's it's not appropriate and that disciplinary action will be taken against students that are acting that way.
But when you say acting that way, you can't punish a child for not being a friend of somebody. In other words, if this kid is standing in the yard on his own and other kids are playing skipping or whatever it is they're doing together or chasing or whatever they're doing, oh, they can't play chase anymore, they're not allowed to run in the yard. Anyway, but if they're doing something else in the yard, you can't say to those other kids, well, we're going to punish you or there'll be disciplinary action against you because you won't play with that child. Because that's not essentially bullying. You can quietly have a word with the other children and say to some children, and you know, and I've said this, you know, I remember saying to my children, the most important thing is when you start, particularly starting secondary school, if you notice a child that's quiet and on their own, go over and talk to them, you know, because that could be you. So I always say, and you should, every parent should say that to their children, right? But you can't force that.
Yeah. You can't punish the kids for not going over and, you know, or for the child not playing with them. But, you know, the teachers should be, you know, trying to find activities of inclusion, you know, whether it's even group work in the classroom, if they're noticing that's an issue and that there is a child, you know, that's possibly being psychologically damaged and maybe something, you know, that might interfere with them long term, that the school has a duty of care and they do have a responsibility to ensure that there's a...
As much as they can.
...put to it. And I know the mother mentioned, you know, she tried parties and sleepovers. Like, look, you're a parent, I'm a parent, I've been a child, you've been a child. Kids want the cool things, you know? So if it's a case the mother has to save all year long or put away as much as possible to have one cool birthday party, you know, whether it's at a local open farm where all the kids want to go, you know, mm-hmm. and then he might suddenly, you know, they might look at him, oh, thanks, you had a cool party, you know, and have
to make him try to make him a popular kid, so to speak. Yeah, I get you.
Yeah, you know, so I feel like, you know, and the mother said as well that he's a little bit overweight. Like, I was always tiny, you know, and just a thin, frail. But I remember my brother kind of going through a phase where, you know, the pounds just started going on and on. But, like, it is important to make sure they are active for their own health, you know, to make sure that they
could
don't
be part
become...
of the issue, too. And I know she doesn't make a huge deal of it, but maybe at 10 years of age, if he said that to her, he might be conscious of the fact that he's overweight and he might be shying away from friendships because of that, because he feels maybe he's overweight, which is very sad, by the way, that a 10-year-old feels that way about their own body, but whenever that happens, sadly. But he might be feeling like that.
Yeah, like, even, you know, getting him involved in a gym, if the dad brought him, you know, one weekend or one day of the weekend, you know, go in and, you know, turn the overweight into muscle and get big. He might, you know, find a passion there. I've seen, you know, you see so many videos of transformations where people suddenly found the gym and got self-esteem and, you know, kind of progressed mentally from there and got into a good place in life.
Okay, well, stay there for a second because I want to go to Babs as well. Babs, you're an Ireland's Classic Kids. How you doing, Babs?
Hi, Niall.
Yeah, boosting his self-esteem, I suppose, is what Amy's talking about, and trying to get him involved a bit more, and then obviously trying to get the school to get involved, you know, and helping him out a bit more. What do you think?
I think it is down to social skills. The most important thing kids should be taught from day one. But I found, like, even, like, as you know, Niall, my minded all our kids, so their social circuit was amongst their cousins. But as they later on, like, the cousins go on to do different things, they don't have, especially mine, didn't have that social circle then because the cousins have gone on to different secondary schools. So I put them into clubs. And like that too, it did help, but they just kind of cling to their inner circle. Like, it was okay to send them to the club. They come home, they just want to sit in. They don't want to go back out and play. Mm-hmm. It took a long time with after-school projects and community projects them to trust. I think it's just what happens is, like, sometimes a parent can be the same and kids learn from the way the parents
Some parents can be very private and insular. Yeah.
It does. It rubs kind of off of them. Like, because my mom, I mean, you can say she practically reared the kids, like, and they would have had, today you will see her personalities in them, as whereas I would be the real outgoing type, but my two wouldn't be. And they're grown adults now.
And that's because your mum practically raised them when you went back to work, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, she had them all from babies. I mean, it was just she was in the stall in Moore Street. But, like, the social skills were just in the family circle. there was no outside, and they were out of their comfort zone when they did have to go outside to parties where they didn't know people.
And I see that a lot with kids nowadays. They're not, you know, and I'll say this as well to Amy, so many kids nowadays are not streetwise. And I know that, I'm not saying you chuck them out on the street to fend for themselves, but there are so many kids, they just don't have the common sense to react to normal social situations.
They don't. And in my case as well, like, they went to me ma's, they went from school, and like, they went to school together, they came home together, they socialised together. And like that too, I came home, they're just almost, they're fed, they're ready for bed. So like that, they wouldn't have had my social skills because outside of the family environment. It was only later on when they wanted to go and do other things, and you pushed them in and you watched them. You know, you watched them and you realised, God, they're insecure outside that comfort zone. And it took a long time.
So getting to the advice for this one, would you go along with Amy?
She needs to take them outside the comfort zone.
Right.
She needs to do that. And like that too, the mother could be the same as well. I mean, like,
I know what you mean.
As I said, yes.
Amy, that is a common, well, let me just go back to Amy on that. That's a common problem, Amy, when you've got a parent who keeps to themselves, which is nothing wrong with that, by the way. Some people are more private than others. That rubs off on the children then too, doesn't it?
Yeah, like, I see that in my life. Like, I'd be such an outgoing person, but at the same time, I, like, most of my hobbies are me on my own. You know, and I do see that in my kid, but at the same time, he's also picked up my completely outgoing personality where he will happily walk. Like, I took him to the cinema last night, and we were sat on one side of the row. There was a boy and his father sat on the other side of the row. The boy was about, I'd say, 12 years old. He got up to go to the toilet, and, you know, I had to move my legs to let him cross. And straight away, my boy was to the other boy, "What's your name?" You know, and
right, yeah, kind of, that's good, isn't it? Yeah.
Very, yeah, very outgoing and very, very out there. But at the same time, that's because I would have pushed him to be that way. You know,
This is it. Well, this is what this mother needs to do then, because her son needs to do exactly what your son just did.
And they need to get out of the comfort zone.
Yeah.
You know, and that's what it is. I mean, it's so great when everything is fine. It's just later on in life, if they don't have some form of social skills, outside the circle, it's going to be very, very hard to get on, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, let me just go get, speaking of social skills, actually, hold on, I just turned on the other line there. Hold on, I do apologise, ladies. Let me just go to Yvonne as well, because Yvonne, you're kind of saying she needs to work with her son's communication skills.
Yeah, definitely, yeah. And because I was kind of in the same situation now on the opposite end of the spectrum. My son is very sociable and very outgoing, but still has the same effect with other kids, if you know what I mean, that nobody wants to play with him because he's kind of too in your face.
Okay, so because he's so active, they're kind of a bit intimidated by him.
He has autism, but he's very, I mean, you wouldn't know it, you know, so he's very intelligent, and a lot of what he talks about doesn't relate to the kids in his class, you know, so they all kind of tend to avoid conversations with him. But he has come home on numerous occasions crying that he has no one to play with.
Oh.
And I can understand kids at that age. I mean, I can understand he's very overpowering, so I can understand they don't want to listen to him. And I've just always, like, you've no control over other people's kids. You've no control over, you know, what happens in school. So I have to work on him and explain to him, like, this is the way things work. This is the situation. Maybe rein it in a bit, you know, maybe don't be.
And does he understand that?
He does understand, but he's still, like, as much as
he can only be himself, can't he?
Yeah, he can still only be himself. He'll still go back to school tomorrow and do the same thing again, you know, and come home crying again.
I'm so sorry. And it's so sad, Yvonne.
He's big blue eyes that when he cried, they turn a bluer blue.
Ah, stop, you're going to have me in tears now.
Looking at him, yeah. And he's so lovely, like, and the thing is...
And that must break your heart as well, Yvonne, doesn't it?
It does, but I mean... Even though it does break my heart, I mean, I can see the logical side of things, and I can see it from the other kids. And I've often said it to the school, like, I've nothing against the other children not doing it. I can see where they're coming from.
Yeah, it's not like they're bullying him or anything
like
that.
They're not. No, no. Just, like, I mean, and they do make an effort, like, of each one trying to spend a bit of time, but it doesn't work out because, as I said,
he's a bit overpowering. Yeah.
Even at home, he is like you have to.
Some kids are like that, you know. Some kids, I was probably a little bit like that in school because I talk too much. But some kids are like that. They can be a little bit in your face, a little bit overpowering, and they mean no harm. And that can be quite intimidating to another child, I suppose.
It is. And he has a twin brother who's in his class as well.
And what's he like?
He's your kind of child. He's very popular. He's with all the popular, you know, that you always have a popular group. Like,
yes,
you know,
of course,
a bunch
of
lads that are playing the sports every day and doing this, and they meet their friends outside of school, whereas the other fella doesn't. He doesn't have anyone.
What about talking to his twin brother? You know, would his twin brother
understand? Well, you see, they're at an age now where, and this is another, like, it's so many steps, like, coming up along, because there was a point where I could see the change, the age where they get to.
Yeah,
and I can see another change coming up now where the twin brother is getting to the stage. He's kind of becoming a bit embarrassing. Do you know what I mean?
Right.
So,
and would you not just sit down with the twin brother and say, listen, you know,
Johnny has a little bit
of a problem in school. Would you try and talk to him? Would you try and help him? Maybe you could introduce him to some, maybe he's embarrassed to do it, I don't know. Maybe you could introduce him to a friend of your friends.
And as I said, they're a great bunch of lads. They wouldn't do anything to hurt him. But
no, of course not.
They're just avoiding him, you know what I mean? But they're not doing anything to hurt him. So I just, like, it's always him I try to work with. I always try and explain situations to him and, you know, situations that he is going to come across in the future like that, you know, and he has to find his own way of managing it. And
sorry, Babs.
It's finding common ground. I mean, I would be a bit like that. There would be a lot of people. People tell me I'm straight-laced, my opinions can be very strong.
Yeah.
But it's just that when you come across with so many people, they get used to you and they know you don't mean any harm. It's just...
They say that about me in here all the time.
It's just giving people a chance. Do you know what I mean? They say, oh, yeah. And I mean, like, they just, if it goes over the head, it goes over the head. But they listen to you. You know what I mean? Because they're used to you. It's just finding common ground with people, you know, is where it's like you either make an enemy or a friend because they don't like your strong opinions. People just don't like that. And I've come up with situations like that. But then you go back and explain to people, I don't mean any harm. It's just my opinion, you know, and then people just get used to it. But with children, it's very hard. It's like leopards can't change their spots and personalities when they're developing. It's just... people giving common ground to them, you know.
But see, all kids have different personalities. I mean, when you look at Yvonne's two kids, and you know what, sometimes, and I don't mean this to be offensive in any way, I hate the word autism, because it almost feels like we're making an excuse or putting a label on somebody for just having a personality. And, you know, Yvonne's little young fella, he's outgoing. He has a personality, which, by the way, as he gets older, he will control a little bit better, hopefully.
He will, because even at 11, he's miles, like, even though he has autism, he's miles ahead of the lads in his class. You
absolutely.
Know?
He's probably very focused, yes.
He's very focused. Yeah. Everything is black and white with him. There's no grey area.
I know. I've been there.
That makes it difficult for him too, because he can't... you know,
it almost sounds like Asperger's.
It all comes under one umbrella now.
Yeah.
But if they were still labelling it separately, it would be Asperger's.
Yes, a lot of kids have traits of Asperger's.
My sister has a young flat and like that too. She's to keep reeling him in. As I said, it's the world is in black and white. There's no in between. But it's the in between she has to explain to him.
Yeah,
in order, and the more she does it, like that too, they couldn't care less what you're saying half the time. They're enjoying themselves, they're having fun, but she just needs to keep letting them know about the in-betweens, you know, especially when you do see the world in a different way. But like that too, I mean, their skills are amazing.
But when we go back in time, right, and I don't know how old both of you are, but I'm 58 years of age, right?
I'm 53 next week.
Okay.
Well, on the 25th.
And
I'm 52.
Okay, so let's go back to our own childhoods in school, right? We didn't use the word autism. It was used, there was people who were called slow learners and all sorts of names, and there was all sorts of things like that. Or remedial, wasn't that another word we used in those days? So we didn't understand children and different behaviours and personalities. But the way we looked at it was, everybody just had different personalities. Nowadays, it's just so handy to label people and then use that as an excuse for the behaviour. And I don't believe that's what we should be doing. Instead of focusing and harnessing on how wonderful Yvonne's son is and how wonderful he will probably do in life, by the way, because people with traits of Asperger's tend to do very well in life because they're very focused, right?
Yeah.
So, and in saying that, and how they can control that, that's what we should be really focusing on, and not the label as such. And
Yvonne, it is, and I always say to the school, because he can get in quite a state if somebody's not listening to him, or if he knows the way something is supposed to be and it's not like that, he can get in a state. But I always say, like, just the fact that he has Asperger or autism, he's not to be treated any different.
Absolutely. Yvonne, sorry, I'm not cutting you short, but I have to go to a break, and I'm way over time here, and I'm going to come back to you straight after the break. Sorry about that, Yvonne. I did cut you a little bit short there, and sure. I do apologise. Otherwise, the bills wouldn't be paid.
Yeah.
So, Yvonne, yes, getting back to your son, I mean, he will do extremely well in life because...
Well, he will, because when he was first diagnosed, like, and we had a big worry, my husband was very worried, and that's how I eased his mind. I said, look, whatever he chooses to do in the future, he will excel in it with having this diagnosis. But I was just saying, when things happen, some things, I know he's no control over the way he feels about things, but I still try and let him know, like, some things just aren't acceptable, you know.
Yeah, and it's the social skills. That's what you're trying to teach a child, yeah.
I am, yeah.
Yeah.
And you know, but then for that girl whose son is very shy, like my son now, he would be a bit overweight.
Yeah.
Then, like, he doesn't play sport. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I put him into, like, we've this thing in Cork, it's called Confident Kids. It's like a group for kids like him. And
that's a great idea.
They try and meet people that are like them.
You know? So, of course, yeah. Yeah.
You know, if she could find something to put him into, or I don't know if she has family that live around her, but if you could mix with the cousins as much, because, like, we would have grown up with all the cousins would have always been together, you know, so...
Because there's nothing sadder than seeing your own child.
And all the kids are thrown into one circle, and they seem to get on better that way.
There's nothing sadder than seeing your own child looking lonely or depressed or not having friends or whatever it is. It's really sad, isn't it? Mm. It's actually heartbreaking as a parent to see that. Particularly when you know they're a good kid.
And of course, what you want to go into the middle of the schoolyard, scream your head off, please, somebody play with him.
Somebody play with him. Yeah, I know. I can actually see this parent in the email she describes driving past the school. And I can see her as this parent driving past and seeing her kid in the yard. You'd want to climb over the railings.
And just take him out of there. Yeah, I know.
It is sad. But listen, good luck to you and your son. And I'm sure he's a wonderful kid, and I'm sure he'll do well, really well in life, all right?
Thank you very much indeed,
Yvonne.
Real people, real opinions, real talk radio. The multi-award-winning Niall Boylan Show. Classic hit.